a dollar that is owned by a Jew, it'll move 14 times within the Jewish economy before it actually leaves that the Jewish circle. It's a magical developmental process of character. You know, it really helps develop character when you have your own business, your own project that you're working on. You know, the Bible says that by this they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And that applies to the economy as well. It applies to what we do in our transactions. There's ways for us to do this in an uninvasive, in an attractive, but intentional way for us to show to the world a more attractive spirituality than the world has ever seen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to The Hive Podcast, the Adventist podcast for missional entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Vincent Bujor, and I have a question for you here at the beginning. Think about the last paycheck you got, the last salary. How did you spend your money? Or I should say, who did you give it to? Was it a Christian landlord? An Adventist grocery store? Adventist clothing company? Vegan restaurant owned by your friend from church? Probably not, right? I mean, it certainly wasn't the case for me. When we spend our money, we usually don't support each other. We get it and we spend it somewhere else. And in this episode, we're getting inspired to change that. Not alone, but together. There are more than 15,000 SDA businesses and ministries out there, and it's time to create an Adventist economy, a support system, a network, a beehive. Jesse Zwicker, founder of Hive, told me about this great quote that he read a while ago.
I read this statistic. This is what perked my interest, is that they say a dollar that is owned by a Jew will usually swap 14 Jewish hands. So it'll move 14 times within the Jewish economy, or within, you know, between Jews and Jewish businesses, before it actually leaves that the Jewish circle. So what that means, it really creates an internal economy, because tithe is paid off of, you know, all of these transactions, etc. So there's a major benefit for every other Jewish company, because they all get some kind of a benefit, some kind of a support. So if they think, okay, well, shall I go buy at this store or shall I go buy at that store? Well, their first answer is, well, this one is owned by, you know, a buddy of mine, so I'm gonna go visit him. I'm gonna go buy from him. So there is this strong sense of community within the Jewish community, which is great. You know, like I really wish there was more of that. And actually, there's other faith communities that have built some of that. Even if you in the same resource that I was reading these 14 times, you know, it, within the Muslim community, it's about 12 times it'll move from Muslim hands around until it leaves the Muslim community. So within Christianity, you know, the statistic is a big fat zero. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of that that loyalty, in a way, to another brother, right? And so there's some communities that have a little more of that, but many that don't have any. And so I'm really passionate about you know, really using that and building that within our community. You know, so I really see that as a major benefit for how they do business and how that has really supported each other. You know, the Bible says that by this you will know, they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another, right? and that you really care. Now, this is unselfish love. It's agape, right? It's unselfish love to one another. So they will see the brotherly love that we have within our community, and they'll say, wow, I've never seen anything like it. And that applies to the economy as well. It applies to what we do in our transactions. That's where we reveal, you know, where our heart is, right? And so yes, I actually believe it's also a spiritual endeavor to really help us support each other, even in the business ventures that we do. It's a biblical responsibility.
How did this start? What does the Bible tell us about family businesses? Is there something that shows us, you know, this isn't something that was started like 100, 200 years ago by the Jews. This is actually a biblical concept.
Yeah, I also want to emphasize that. It's really simply a biblical concept from when the people of Israel were called out of Egypt to go to the land of Canaan. Once they finally got to the land of Canaan, you know, after their 40 years journey through the wilderness, you know, they got there. And that's when God told Joshua, okay, divide up all the land between the tribes, and within the tribes, every family was to have their own plot of land for them to generate their own income. And so and some of that income was going to be from agriculture, you know. Agriculture was an important part of that. And the other part was really in terms of a trade, you know, in terms of providing something that they were able then to trade or able to sell and to build their little family business. And so the whole Jewish economy is really built around this idea that every family had their own little family business. And with that family business, we're able to provide value to society. There was no such thing on any scale of what we would call an employee. You know, everybody was essentially a contractor. If they were, even in the New Testament, you know, people come and they go on the job market. You know, they could be hired for a day or for an hour. You know, the 11th hour worker. Well, these are contractors that were hired to do certain tasks. So it wasn't so much on the employee. The employee concept was not as much developed. They did have a concept of a worker or even of a slave, but the slaves or servants, you know, which is the same word in the Bible, were actually not the ideal. But it was really when one of these family businesses went bankrupt, you know, if one of them went down and it didn't work and they were going to get essentially into poverty, then another family within that tribe was responsible for basically taking them in and giving them a job within their business. And so then they were there to take care of them. They were there to develop them, to train them. And then after 7 years of being employed, they had to give them the option of, okay, are you going to go back and start over again? You know, you have the option. I'm going to help you. They were responsible. The owners, you know, the successful ones were responsible to give them back a piece of land and something to sustain themselves like a business, you know, to sustain themselves, and then they're on their own, or they had the choice, or to then live with them and stay as slaves or employees, whatever you want to call it, for 50 years or whatever that time period was until the Jubilee, right? After 49 years, they had the year of Jubilee. And that's when everybody, regardless of what was happening, everything was redistributed. All the wealth, all the property, everything that they had earned was redistributed across the board so that it would avoid having anybody get into dire poverty, nor get into like super, super wealth. So that was really the idea. Now the employers, it was in their interest that these guys then would stay with them, right? Even though they had the choice and they would set them up with their own thing, you know, hey, if you could stay, then I can, you know, we can build our business even more. So the way they needed to treat those slaves or those, you know, servants, was on a very, very high level, you know, a very nice level. They were even responsible for getting them a wife, you know, and taking care of them, man. I mean, it was like really a very, very nice. It was the kindest, you know, employment relationship that you can imagine. So that was really the model in the Old Testament. And we can see this. We can see this today. I mean, not today, but in the New Testament, it's very clear. You know, I mean, everybody, every family had their own little business. Okay, this is not an uncommon idea. You know, if you ask Peter what his business was, you know, which business was he working in? Well, he was working in a fishing business. Okay, was he an employee there, or what was he? You know, whose business was this? Well, the Bible is clear. It was his father's business, right? And so he was working in his family business, right? This is where it was. Jesus himself, right? He was a carpenter. Okay, but did he just work as an employee somewhere? No. Where did he work? It was his dad's business, right? It was Joseph had his little carpentry business. So this is really important. You know, even though these guys were not rich by any means, I'm not trying to rewrite history here, but what they had was actually a small family business, right? So that was the idea, that really everybody, whether it was fishing, whether it was tent making, you know, Paul is the best example, you know, and it was very clear. Every member, even of the Sanhedrin, had to have their own trade, that they had to be able to run their own little business, right? And Paul was one of them, and he had his own little tent making business, you know, where he was able to fund all of his mission trips, including all of the people that would join him on his mission trips, through the making and selling of good quality tents, right? So this is really it's a common thing in the Jewish world, you know, and because of that, and the principles of benevolence, you know, and of really money management, you know, I mean, you just read the five books of Moses, man. There's so many management principles in there, and the rest of the Old Testament as well, but especially in the five books of Moses, you know, on how to you know, budget, you know, budget your income, budget your money, you know, setting aside tithe, setting aside offerings, setting aside you know, don't just give everything, you know. It's very clear, you know, we should keep some for the future, like save. We should invest, right? We should use some portion, of course, to cover our needs, right? So we shouldn't be just you know, just give everything away or you know, be so benevolent that then you don't have anything anymore. That's not biblical. You know, the biblical model is really to have all, you know, these five different elements of money management, you know, of using for your needs, of investing, of saving, of tithes and offering, you know. So really, really doing it in that way. And so they've been based on these principles, and the principles include taking care of the poor, taking care of the, you know, of society, etc., as in a systematic way. And so no wonder Jews became successful. Now, of course, there is history about that, you know, where they were not allowed to do certain things, etc., and so they got into like banking, into those things, which is fine, right? And it's good. I don't want to dig into that, but really from the biblical point of view, from what the Bible says, you know, management was very important, and the way we use our resources in a benevolent way, but also in a responsible way, and building that responsibility, that ownership, that every family essentially had their own little small business, I think is phenomenal. I mean, because it teaches you something. And anybody that is listening to this, you know, anybody that has started their own business knows that you get to a different level of the sense of responsibility and of managing risk and pressures, you know, and society and government and legal and so forth. You know, it's life is so much less complex if you're just an employee, you know? So that sense of like leadership and going, you know, taking risk and making an impact in society, I think, and providing something of great quality, you know, you can't cut corners as an entrepreneur. You know, if you cut corners, man, you always get hit, you know, you always get hit in the face. So it really helps. It's a magical developmental process of character. You know, it really helps develop character, when you have your own business, your own project that you're working on. If you're working on someone else's stuff, you know, it's you know, it's same when you're renting in a place or when you own a house. You know, it's just very, very different the way you treat everything, the way you treat the furniture, the way you treat the windows, the all the systems, you know, the AC, the this and the that. I mean, everything, whether if you pay for your bills, your AC bills or not, you know, your behavior changes completely, right? So this is really a key in terms of ownership and the connection with actually character development. And I really believe that's part of why in the Jewish economy, and I would say the biblical model, is for families to have their own small business, because it creates this sense of ownership, not just in the owner or the head of the family, but really in all the kids. In everyone, because they all benefit from it, right? They all feel like it's theirs, and so it automatically develops it develops a work ethic that is unparalleled, right? It creates a number of things. So I really think that's a major component to why it's so important to have that business in the way we do things.
Amen.
Missional entrepreneurship is life-changing, and it's worth sharing. That's why we want to hear your story. Tell us how God has worked in your life, how you've reached customers and shared the gospel with them. Send us your story and get featured here on the podcast. Just email us at hello@hiveinternational.org.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to another episode of the Hive Podcast. And Jesse and I have been talking about the Jewish economy, biblical way of doing business, doing family business. And Jesse, you've been mentioning just before the break, you've been mentioning all these phenomenal benefits of why it's so great and awesome to have your own business. You have your own family business, and it goes even beyond the freedom and the flexibility that many people are just very excited about these days. It actually touches on character building. But when we look now into our world and we see the different industries and we see even the different, you know, ways of how people live their lives, even Adventists today, we don't see that model anymore. I mean, obviously we see some family businesses here and there, but for the most part, we have big corporate companies. When and how and why did that change?
I think that happened when really when the Industrial Revolution hit, you know, the first Industrial Revolution and then the second Industrial Revolution, it really pushed the whole massive business corporations and thousands of employees. And so they basically came to the educational systems and said, hey, guys, we need employees. You know, we need people that will be, that are not super, super smart, but we need people that will stand on in our coal mines or, you know, factories and will be happy and satisfied with just doing that, right? And just being on the assembly line. And so please shift your model a little bit and train more employees versus, you know, founders and entrepreneurs and things like that. So that model really shifted, and I don't think we've recovered from that ever since. So we don't have this as a general feeling. Now, the internet has created somewhat of a resurgence of this spirit of entrepreneurship, because it's so much easier and faster and less capital intensive to start a business nowadays. And so even now, I mean, I was just reading a statistic the other day, over 63% of American young people are interested in starting their own business at some point in their life. So the interest is very, very high now in starting their own business because of the access that the internet allows for us to see other people's lives, to see what these guys are doing and how they did it, and how fast you can actually start something or test an idea with the internet. You know, to spin up a website is a matter of a few hours, you know. So this was very, very much more tedious, much more complicated in the past. And so that has kind of shifted. And I believe that the time is really ripe for us to also push. You know, I believe this is part of why we're starting to talk about Hive and talk about missional entrepreneurship now, is because it's really the field is ripe, you know. And what we don't want is everybody to get excited about entrepreneurship and forget about the mission, you know, and forget about actually we could do entrepreneurship within the context of God's call for us and for our lives, you know, and our design that he has for us. So really being able to integrate these two, I think is definitely key for now. Yeah.
Mm. Powerful. Let's elaborate on that a little more. Why is it so powerful and beautiful to go back to that old biblical model? I mean, yeah, we want to live by what the Bible says and all of that. But why is it, practically speaking, relevantly, evaluating that? Why is it so powerful? Why is this concept so beautiful? Why should we go back to that?
Well, I believe that it has really two sides of benefits. You know, the one benefit is really, it really helps our businesses to be more successful. You know, if we create this kind of a business network, you know, and where we really refer clients to each other, we buy from each other, we help each other, you know, we have everybody's best interest at heart, and creating that kind of a network, I think that's a major benefit just for our businesses to be more successful, from a financial standpoint, from an ability to bless our workers, you know, with good employment, good benefits package, etc. But then there's really this second layer, which I'm really very excited about, because that's why we call our organization Hive, is this vision of the Beehive network of, you know, yes, creating this economy within our community, but really also really creating a network that creates synergy in terms of reaching people, right? In terms of really blessing people, so that we can refer clients to one another and help one another and help clients actually on their personal spiritual journey from, you know, hey, I have diabetes, I'm at your health food store, and then the health food store says, hey, we got a restaurant over there that actually has diabetic friendly food, right? And so they go over there and eat at the restaurant and talk to the waiters, and they have maybe coaches there that help people with diabetes, so then they get into coaching, and then they have a lot of personal one-on-one time, and finally they say, hey man, I think you really need a reboot. And why don't you go over there to this lifestyle center that where you can go for 10 days and they have like 90% success rates in reducing, in actually eliminating diabetes type 2, right? So why don't you go over there? So they go and there people start praying with them. People start having this amazing experience. And they're just saying, wow, you know, who are these people, right? Like, what are they? What makes them be so nice and so caring, and so they really want my best, right? So, who are you? You know, what do you believe? And I've seen this. You know, I've helped start some of these lifestyle centers and run one. You know, so it's really amazing what kind of a spiritual transformation you see in customers that are initially very, very secular and very uninterested in anything that you have to say. But when they see the spirit of true, you know, unselfishness, you know, then they open up and they say, this is not of this world. And we know this because the Bible says it and Ellen White says it, that the devil nor humans cannot produce unselfishness. It's only the Holy Spirit that can produce unselfishness. So wherever it is seen, it will produce that curiosity that people say, where do you get this? Like, this is not part of my worldview. So that's really the key here, is that this economy or this network of this beehive network really creates this kind of a ripple effect of a synergetic net that allows us to really reach a city in a much more comprehensive way than if we just came in and did an evangelistic campaign that is disjointed from what we do on a daily basis, right? So if we can take advantage of all the contacts, all the customers, you know, that we confront, and some businesses are not able to lead people from, you know, 0 to 100 and baptize them, you know what I mean? But if you can lead them from 0 to 1 or to 2, or refer them, you know, in your packaging or whatever it is, you know, there's like 5 main ways to help, you know, bring people one step further. That's, you know, in our Hive methodology, you can find that. But there, you know, there's ways for us to do this in an uninvasive, in an attractive but intentional way for us to show to the world a more attractive spirituality than the world has ever seen. I really believe so. And so this is part of the benefit of having this kind of a network.
Wow. And I know that you have been working very hard the last few years to make this a working reality. Can you share a little bit about what Hive, what we as a company, as a missional business are doing to help other missional businesses get in touch with each other and actually refer each other and really copy that Jewish secret that has been lost over time that was and is still so biblical? What is Hive currently doing?
Yeah, so we have just launched the Adventist Business Directory. So anybody that's listening to this podcast, you can just go on our website and go into membership or sign up in the directory, and you can go in, sign up, and join the community. It's totally free. We just want everybody to be able to join in and be able to start communicating with each other, and be part of that community that we together want to really take to that next level. Once we have that business directory in place, then we're really interested in even getting this organized in like citywide chapters in a way, so that we can really create these beehives in every city of the world. So and connect entrepreneurs on a local level as well as on a global scale, right? So that's what we're working on. So yes, I invite everybody that's listening, you know, even if you're just at a startup phase or you're building on your idea, or you're already on a very scaled up enterprise, it doesn't matter, but you can join this Avitus Business Directory with those two things in mind, you know, with that commitment to help each other, help others to succeed, and also want to have a commitment to the mission of the church. So we're looking forward to see how we can build these beehives all over the world. And you can be part of that.
Isn't that amazing, guys? I just want to encourage you also to register. And when you do that, think about that story that Jesse shared about that person seeing a product and getting referred to a restaurant and then getting, you know, referred to a lifestyle center, eventually getting baptized. I mean, this is a true story. It has already happened, but we need to make it global. We need to bring this referral system and holistic approach of missional entrepreneurship to every city in North America and beyond. Think about this. When Jesus said in Matthew 9:37 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, he just went around all the cities and villages. Jesus was talking about the people in the big cities. That's where the harvest is so big and the workers aren't there. And that's where we need a holistic approach to mission, and it'll give your life a purpose like never before. I'm telling you that. It was the same for me, and I believe it'll be the same for you as well. So go to our website, register. I look forward to seeing you on there, and I also look forward to seeing you again for another episode next Monday at 6 a.m.